You know, each person up here, all they did was say yes. That's it. So often we're like, oh, I wish I could have an adventure like someone like that, or I wish God would use me like he uses this person over here. And the only difference between those God uses and those God doesn't is the ones who said yes. When Isaiah was in God's presence and God said, who's going to go for us? Which I always thought was so funny because there's only one person there. Who are we going to send? Who should go for us? And Isaiah looks around and he goes, here I am. Send me. And each person up here, they just said, here I am. Send me. And they'll all testify, I'm sure, that it was totally easy the whole time. But that's part of what it is. That's part of the adventure of saying yes to God, is you go through trials, and there are roadblocks, and there are things you got to work out. One thing I learned in Africa is everything's a workaround. In Africa, everything breaks down. There's a flat tire. There's a gear that doesn't work right or something. I don't even know half of the stuff that was going wrong, and we just had to figure it out. And it was a beautiful example of that's just what it is to follow God. We think it's all going to be smooth. Everything's going to work perfectly. And what we learn is, no, we just said yes, so we're going. Whatever it takes, whatever we got to figure out. So I'm not going to talk too much. I want to hand off the microphone and each of these people. By the way, you guys smell terrific today. Just wanted to let you know that. But we're going to hand the microphone off, and you guys each got... I want to say 30 seconds because then you'll probably take 2 minutes. But you guys each have about a minute. We can't tell the whole story. Just know if you want more stories, see them after church. They got plenty. But just like we did at the end of the day, I want you to give us your highlight. Amen. One little highlight from the trip of something God did. I'm going to start over here with Paige.
When we were at the base camp with Trail Missions, we headed to the bush. We did a women's conference. And this lady came up to me, and she couldn't really look up at me. She was, like, standing down because something in her neck wasn't right. And so she asked me to pray for it. And I was like, okay. So I started praying over her neck. And as we started praying, her neck started rising up, and she was finally healed.
Hi, my name's Noelle. Something that really stood out to me is that when... when me and Gabby were with the kids at the school, we asked if any of the kids need prayer. And all the kids came up, and every single one of the kids wanted to be able to understand what they were learning in school and to be able to graduate and just have a successful life.
Hello, my name's Hannah. And during this whole trip, I got thrown into the kids' ministry a lot. And the last Sunday that we were there, I was helping teach in Sunday school, and all these kids just welcomed me with, like, happy smiles and open arms. And at the end, they're like, oh my goodness, what's your name? And it was just adorable, and they were just so open to the love and wanted to receive it.
Hi, my name is Nate. Africa was amazing. I loved it. I loved seeing how just different everything was and just how blessed we are here. When we were building the church, I was like, great. Because it looked like so much work. I was like, all morning, oh, I don't want to work. We knocked that out so fast. It took 2 days. We put it all up. Tommy and everyone else and me helped nail all the stuff to the roof. And it just went by a lot faster than I thought. And the people were so happy. They were dancing all night long in it. It was amazing.
So my... Try to be quiet. Okay, so my favorite part is definitely when we went to the school, because I was talking to a couple of these girls when we were standing outside after we had finished talking to them, and a couple of their other friends had, like, came around and surrounded me, and we had left to go do street evangelism, and then we had went back to the school, and in a matter of, like, I'd say 15 seconds, I was surrounded by, like, 100 kids, and we were all just talking and laughing, and then I definitely had to show them Snapchat filters, so we were doing that, I'd say, for a good... 30 minutes, and that was wonderful, and it was just such a good opportunity, and I loved it.
The highlight for my trip was when we went down to the villages, and the people would come out that spoke no English or nothing would just rip out their sheets and branches for us to sit on so we didn't have to sit on the dirty floor, and they just sat there ready to listen to the word of God.
I really liked the worship and stuff because they seemed like they were having fun, because like I know I saw them all singing together, but then I also saw them like laughing with each other and everything. And before, and I was at my other church and we were talking before we came here, and like me and my mom were like trying to pump up the church because they're just standing there and singing. They were just like standing there, and I was like, what the heck? Like, you're supposed to be dancing. So, yeah.
So something that stood out to me, and it was very powerful. One of the nights we were like dancing and whatnot, and I saw two of these people, and our team and I, we casted out two demons from two different people.
My name's Brandy. Gabby's my daughter. We go to Lighthouse Church in Athens, if you don't know me. So this was my first mission trip after having kids. My first one was 2006. Now this was after raising babies. And I was like, they're old enough. Jay can handle it. So the word God gave me at the beginning of the trip was look beyond. It was look beyond yourself. Look beyond your uncomfortableness, your, you know, whatever situation you're in, whatever happens, look beyond that and watch me move. Because God is constantly moving. It's not like, oh, because I'm not doing anything, God's just sitting there waiting for me. He's constantly moving. So it's my job, if I want to be part of it, to look beyond myself, what I'm going through, grab on, and go for the ride. And so that's up to you if you want to do that. So everything a part of this trip was a struggle for me, flesh-wise. I like toilets. I don't like sweating. I love AC. I love showers. I love, you know, America. But I looked beyond that, and it was a prayer every day. Every day, me and Kia was like, look at my fingernails. I was like, they're dirty again. I just cleaned them. And I was like, Kia, we did it together, man. We did it. And just watching God move, and after coming back here, and just, I feel like I got to stop talking because I'll talk forever. But if you want to talk to me afterwards, I'll talk to you.
My name is Nathan. For me, a couple things stood out during this trip. Building the locals a church to give them a place of worship, to praise God, I think is wonderful because everybody in the world deserves that. And another thing for me personally was my baptism. It's something I've been wanting to do for the past couple of years since being saved by Christ, and now I feel complete and fulfilled, and there was no better place to do it while doing the work of the Lord.
My name is Timothy, for those that don't know, and my highlight had to be the baptism again. What Nate didn't tell you was that we got baptized in a place called Devil's Pit. I'm pretty happy that we cleansed that water, and the word that God put on my heart was abundance, and that's the reason that I got baptized. It's just an abundance of love for him. That's the reason that I went on the trip, just to show all the people there the abundance of love that I have for God and the love that they could gain through him.
Hey, my name is Garrett, and how many of you know that dirt, it happens, is a very good sunscreen? It's a good thing, too. Paul wrote about 2/3 of the New Testament as a missionary. First one was about a year, second one was about 3 years, and the last one was about 5 or 6 years. And during that time, he gave us most of what we know now today as the New Testament. And the biggest revelation that I kind of grasped from Paul is that he learned how to be abased, which is like dirt poor, and to abound, to have more than enough. And I think that's one of the secrets of the Christian life, is to not compare. And as Americans, we struggle with that. I do. And when we're there, you don't have much choice. It's amazing what you have to deal with when you have to dig to the reservoir of who you really are. And how deep are you? Are you going to crumble when things aren't going the way you think they should. And Paul got that. He cracked the code. You know, I mean, it's not a formula, but I mean, I think it was just insane to contemplate us, the way we live here. And I'm not bashing America. We're blessed over the top. But to never forget that most of the world does not have what we have. And amazingly, they're at joy with most of it because they don't have any much to compare it to like we do. And just remember that. And thank you.
Hi, my name's Joanne, and my special moment dear to my heart on our trip was we were walking down the street after we left the school looking for somebody to pray with or speak with about the gospel. I saw a man sitting by the porch of his little hut thing, and I looked at him, he kind of nodded because I kind of went like this, trying to say, can I come in? And I was a walk closer, I saw his wife and his daughter, and I went up and shared the gospel with them, and then I asked if there was anything they needed prayer for. And his wife spoke up right away and said he can't talk well because he had a bad stroke 10 years ago. And she said, will you pray for his knees? So I kneeled right next to him, because he never stood, and started praying over his knees, and then she said, his hands, pray for his hands. And he showed me his hand. It was sort of marled, and she said it had been like that since the stroke. It was very contorted. So I put my hand over his and began to pray for his hand, for his circulation to come back. And I was just talking to the Lord, bring his circulation back. I don't know where, I believe it was the Lord said, Lord, please oxygenate his blood. I just, that's what came to my heart and mind. I know, you can laugh, but that's what the Lord put on my heart. And I just kept listening, you know, Lord, praying for him and continued to pray. And under my hand, touching his, I felt his hand was moving. So I stopped for a second and looked right in his eyes. I said, do you feel anything? And he said, moving. Just, he couldn't talk real well, but he told me something was moving in his arm. So continued to pray as his hands fully opened. And, and just to finish that, you know, and then I focused on his thumb because it was still not open. And then Pastor Cletus, I hope I said his name right, he was walking by, I think, to gather everybody. I'm not sure, but he looked in, and I said, come here. And I told him quickly what happened, and he said, sir, if you believe the Lord truly healed you today by this woman's prayers, shake my hand. And that was the most beautiful sight ever.
Hello, my name is Casey. This was my very first mission. It was amazing, life-changing for me, a lot of inner growth. The one takeaway for me in this trip and the mission was we came upon a group of men near a pool table with alcohol and of that such in the midst. And I started ministering to them, and one of the guys said, well, no, we want to know why your Jesus is more important than the angels. And so I started to tell them this. I said, no, we want scripture. And so I said, okay, Lord, real quick prayer. I'm going to need your help here. And so I opened up my Bible app, and it opened up directly to Hebrews 1, which was exactly what we needed. So I read that to the guys, and then after ministering more, all four of them, five maybe, gave their lives to the Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Hope. I'm a full-time missionary in Zambia. I'm only home for a couple of weeks. This was incredible. To have a piece of home with me there was just so sweet and precious, and I feel like I have a million new brothers and sisters, which is great. I'm blown away by how much we can accomplish in the kingdom when God unites us. Just like I think Pastor Jeff was just saying, like when there's a yes in your heart, he does something remarkable. The amount of work that we accomplished in 2 short weeks is wild. We put a new church in place. We dug a successful water well, and out where we were specifically, I don't even know if you guys know that, there's mostly salt water. So it's a miracle that that water was even successfully drilled. And usually when we plant a church out in the bush, we pick a big shade tree, and either they fit under that shade or they don't. And so now there's an actual structure where they can worship and be covered, and that's amazing. There was at least 80 people who were saved during this whole time that we were there. Hundreds of people were healed from every kind of physical ailment you can think of, and people were delivered from darkness. It's incredible what we can do when we come together, and we held women's Bible studies. These people can preach. They can preach, especially your teenagers. Be proud of them. These girls did amazing things. Nate, guys, you did amazing things. God is so, so, so good. And he took this one faithful yes and changed the kingdom forever.
Thank you.
So my name is Kia, and I survived the bush. And I say that jokingly now because the bush was one of the reasons why I was not going to go to Africa. And the fact that it was the best part of my trip is beyond amazing, and it only God could do that. So, like, if you have an excuse, don't let it be your excuse. Just go and watch God change it is my encouraging word. But what stood out to me the most was in the bush, we got to minister, the ladies got to minister to the people in the villages, and on the first day, we went to about 6 different villages, and the first village that we went to, they had never heard the gospel before. It was the very first time that they heard the gospel, and Amber, who was with us, she's from Trail Mission, she explained to us that she, you know, when she goes out and she ministers, usually there's people that hear, like, about Adam and Eve, or they may know Moses, or they've heard of Jesus, but they may not know fully. But these group of 20 people had never heard. They didn't know Adam and Eve. They didn't know Moses. They didn't know anyone. And when we came, they were welcoming, but they were all kind of, like, I don't know, low and just not, like, happy people. And we got to share the love of God, and we share the gospel, and, like, it was just like God just transformed their hearts and their mind, and by the end, we were praying for them. They were loving on us. They were laughing, and about 8 people got saved, and it was just an eye-opener of, like, just what Brandy was saying. This is so much beyond us. We're building a kingdom. And we have to keep that in mind, that regardless of how we feel or whatever uncomfortable feelings we may have or disagreements we have to keep the kingdom in mind, because that's why we're here. And God sent us from Hudson, New York, to go all the way to Africa to speak to 20 people for the first time about the kingdom of God. And we are excited. So go.
1 minute. That Africa time? My name is Nicholas, if anybody doesn't know. Thank you, sir. And, man, if you want to go on a vacation, go to Paris or something like that. But if you want an experience, go serve the Lord in a different country. I can't tell you how blessed I am just to be able to serve. That's the thought of that crossing my mind is crazy now that I'm saying it. Just to be able to serve and to give myself in ways that I didn't even think was possible. At first, I didn't even think that I was going to be used. I was like, how am I going to be used down there? And I said this back in Africa, but then as soon as you get there, I seen how everything's broken down here. And how everything is, there's a need for everything, for everybody, whether you're fixing things, whether you're preaching, whether you're building, whether you're helping, whether you're cooking, there's a need. It touched my life in every aspect, from the littlest thing, like even tithing. Tithing was something that caught me off guard because I thought I was doing pretty well. And and I don't know if this makes sense, but I seen a woman with nothing tithe half of nothing. And it broke me. It's like an arrow that shot through me. Even just small moments like that, God was working little by little by little. And it just blew my mind how even in a third world country where people have nothing, how we have everything compared to them, I think the currency up here is like 22 to 1. And they're more happy. They're more loving. They got love down there. They got joy that I would trade in a second for this dollar. It's something that you need to experience. When God says go, just go. One of the biggest things was that really stood out towards me again is just God really goes before you and creates that path. Even some of the stuff I was working on, trying to fix the craziest contraptions that you can think of to make this project go, it was almost like it was tailor-made. It was almost like it was just, hey, Nick, you know, you did this before, something similar, or, you know, this is what I have for you. And it just kept going one after another, and it was just so beautiful at the end. It wasn't easy, but it was worth it. When God says go, just go. He's already went before you. So don't be afraid that there's spiders, that there's no toilet, that there's no plumbing, that you might be a little hot. Africa's a little hot. A lot hot, 100 every day. Just go, because it's worth it in the end.
Amen. Okay, so I'm going to test you, Gabby. I'm going to test you, and that's a test for everybody. See if you remember. Who has the final word? See, they failed. They left Africa in Africa, okay? So you said that the worship experience here is not filled with joy and active, and that was one song that we heard a few times, and the response is supposed to be, our God has the final word. Y'all, none of y'all remember, huh? Wow. Jehovah, our God, Jesus, any of the above, right? Do you want to try again? Do you want to try again? Huh? Oh, you want that one? Oh, I'll give you a redeeming opportunity. All right, you ready? Hakuna. Come on, Gabby. Come on now. Smile, dance. Come on. Come on, Gabby. Amada wale wale arada wada wale wale arota roa wale wale. I just have to tell you, I preached at a pastor's conference up there, and I led with that song. The rest of them are all like, wow, he knows this? Yeah. And then I preached again at Pastor Jack's church, and I led with that song, and I got the same exact response. Oh, okay. And they all started in, and they started dancing and clapping and whatever. But they're all absolutely right. And everything that they said is absolutely true. It was transforming, life transforming eternally for not only the people that we went to, but for each and every one of them. I mean, Pastor Jeff and I and probably a couple others experienced some things there with this team to watch them change. And it was beautiful. It really was. It was beautiful to watch. I was blessed to have three of my children on the trip, one of them full-time, who led many things for us, but that was a huge blessing. A couple of things that stood out to me were traditions. The Malo family has a couple of traditions, one of which is that when we sit down for dinner, we say, what's the best part of your day? And we go around the whole table, and we say, what's the best part of your day? Lo and behold, they have the same tradition there. So we get to the bush, and it's the end of the day, and Pastor Jack says, okay, here's some tradition that we do with every team that comes out in the bush. We're going to go around the whole team, and you're going to say what your favorite part of the day was. I was like, what? I got this. This is a Malo thing. And I was blessed by that, you know. And then another thing that we shared. That was a tradition. We just happened to have a couple of Malo birthdays while we were in Africa. My birthday was there while we were there. Isabella's birthday was there while we were there. So I was all prepared to be like, oh, okay, when we get home, we'll do our thing like we did yesterday, and we'll do our birthday thing then. Well, obviously in Zambia, they care for birthdays as much as we do. And we have a tradition in our family where we sing happy birthday, and then we say God's blessings on you, splash. And then at the last splash, we splash water on the person. They do the same thing in Zambia, except it's just not a little splash, it's a whole bucket, right? So I'm sitting there in the bush, 105 degree weather. They made a cake for me in the bush. I don't know how that's possible, but it was moist and amazing. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, oh, I can see what's happening here. So I'm sitting, and then all of a sudden, the little kids, Abby and Alicia and Seppo and my daughters and some of the other kids, full cups of water. And they do the God blessing thing on you and dump tons of water on my head. I'm just sitting there like, I like it when that happens. But it was a tradition and I was enjoying it because I was cooling off. I usually don't like to get water dumped on my head in New York, but it was very refreshing. And I was very excited to see that their traditions are just like our traditions. And it was beautiful to be a part of it. It was beautiful to see that they value some of the things that I value in my home. And the last thing that I wanted to share was something that nobody else had mentioned, but my daughter Isabella brought it to my attention. We're at the Temple of Power Church, and as soon as we get in the church, I'm looking around to see if there's anything different, because I've been there a few times, and I look up at the wall, and there's a banner, and the banner says 2024, Vision 2024, and then below that, Vision 2024, it's got a scripture. The scripture that was written on their banner for Vision 2024 is this scripture. This scripture that we put on our shirts. Now, you might say, wow, but let me tell you the backstory. I didn't come up with that scripture. I didn't come up with it. Nick did. I tapped on Nick last year. Sometime last year, I said, Nick, be praying about a scripture to put on our shirts. And I had a couple ideas, but I wanted it to come from him. So I prayed. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And Nick gave me that scripture. Nick doesn't know Temple of Power. He sure doesn't know Pastor Cletus. He sure doesn't know Nelly. But he came up with that scripture, not because it came from Nick, but because the same Holy Spirit that we pray to right here in Hudson is the Holy Spirit that's guiding those people in Africa. That is the significance of the scripture, that it reminds you that when you get out of the way and you allow the Holy Spirit to do the moving, he does amazing things like the miracles you've heard, but something as simple as a scripture on the back of a t-shirt, right there, their guiding scripture for 2024 is the one that came with us in our shirts. And that's miraculous all in itself that I get to see. I don't know if many people saw it. Isabella made the shirts, so it was the first thing she saw because she saw it, I don't know, 47 times when she was putting the iron down. She read the scripture, so she knew it. And she said, hey, Dad, look at that. I was like, whoa. Because it proved to me that the Holy Spirit is alive. He's not only alive here, but everywhere. And when you give your heart to him, when you surrender your will, your way to him, allow his way to be done, his will be done, you see things happening. One thing that I encourage each and every one of them, no matter where we were, no matter what we were doing, I said, please, 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 don't think for a minute that this only happens in Africa. This happens in Hudson, New York. So when you see, it brought me to tears and chills, the hand open up like this from a stroke, and it was open up, and then the dude shook his hand. That happens right here in New York. to see healings happening, demons fleeing, and lights going on and churches built, that's not just an Africa thing. But if we surrender our will and we are open and obedient, like all of them were for 2 weeks, you see miracles happen. You see the Holy Spirit move, amen? And those are some of the closing things that I wanted to say for y'all. Ephesians 2:10. You want me to read it? Ephesians 2:10. Oh, should I read Deja's? So it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Just like what Nick just said, he went in before us. He prepared us beforehand to do these things. The scripture and the shirt and the banner on the wall is just another example of that. But it's beautiful. And I'm glad that we had an opportunity to be together for 2 weeks and to see miracles happen. Did you want to say something or no? Did you want to give a testimony? Yes.
I forgot that I didn't do that. Amen. The bush was my favorite thing too, but I wasn't as afraid of it as you were. but I got a lot dirtier than I expected in the bush. But I think it was, like so many said, it was so beautiful to see people who live in such a different way than we do. And it's hard to imagine people living in huts with no electricity, no running water. Here in America, we just can't imagine that. And yet these were people to whom the gospel had come. And many of the villagers had already believed, and a few more believed while we were there, which was amazing. And God had done incredible things. But just to see the joy, to see the freedom in their worship, I think we all kind of came out saying, we need a little bit of that back in Hudson, New York, some of that freedom, some of that just abandon. Let's just dance and sing and shout and who cares? And let's do it for a few hours. You know, I did, yeah. I think I told Hope this when we were at Nellie's house one point. I was just happy we were getting ready to eat. And I came in and I was just kind of dancing as I was walking into the kitchen, and her little girl Joy saw me and started to dance. And I said, that's a first for me. I don't think my dancing has ever caused another person to dance. But it was also a great illustration to just say, it doesn't matter. I get self-conscious about dancing. That's why I'm so happy they put that up there on the video. But to get over myself. Because when I'm free, it sets other people free. When you're free, it sets other people free. And so I'm just so excited to see how God has set so many free here and done so much work in these people who have come back, and they just get to share with you all that God did. Because I don't think anyone now has the mistaken idea that God can't use you. Anyone still think that after this trip? Because if you do, I'll slap it out of you later. Because God used every single person on this trip. And I'm just so excited to see what God's going to continue to do. So, amen. Amen. Well, we're right about time, so I say we just pray and close. You want to pray us out, Pastor Tom?
Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you, Lord, for being Jehovah Jireh, for being our God, our King, our Dad. I'm so grateful that you didn't stay here in New York when we went to Africa, that you did prepare the way. You created something, something beautiful. Not only did you create something beautiful in each one of these team members, you created something beautiful there for each one of us to see so that we cannot look like Americans or Africans, but that we can look more like you. And I'm grateful for that, Lord, that these 17 folks and me and Pastor Jeff, we got an opportunity to look more like you. So Holy Spirit, I'm grateful. Holy Spirit, I'm so, so thankful that where we go, you go. That where our feet go, you go. That you didn't stay in Africa to see people get healed, but that you came on the plane with us and that you came to JFK and you rode up the thruway and you're right here still in Hudson. You haven't left us or forsaken us, but you've got work to do right here as well as every other place. And although there might not be 80% of the people in Hudson who've never heard of Adam and Eve or Jesus Christ, we know there are people there here, right here in Hudson and New York in the United States that need to bow their knees, that need to confess with their mouths who you are, our great God, our Father, our King, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Friend. That message goes beyond country borders. That message goes beyond our comfort zone. That message goes beyond any country that is dominated by other religions. That message goes beyond hardness of heart, scales on the eye. That message goes well beyond our ability. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for being powerful in us and giving us the ability to change lives for eternity because of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.